Welcome back to the Startup Builders and Backers podcast. I hope you had a great weekend and you're ready for another founder story. A story that goes far beyond the polished pitch deck, because today I'm joined by the co-CEO and co-founder of a company called LoopUp. And they've taken a journey that is as unpredictable as the markets that they serve. It's a great startup story that began developing one of the very first BlackBerry apps that turned mobile device into a remote controller for conference calls, to ringing the bell on the London Stock Exchange, and then pivoting during the pandemic when their core market collapsed almost overnight. This is one of those inspirational founder stories of someone that has lived through every possible twist and turn of the startup experience. Someone we can all learn a thing or two from. And LoopUp today, the world's most multinational cloud telephony provider. It's integrated with Microsoft Teams and serving customers in more countries than any other telco. But this story we're going to share today is much more about resilience, pivots and personal lessons, as it is about technology and global telecom infrastructure. Because Steve's going to open up about the pressures of leading through decline, the motivation to rebuild, and the partnership that has carried LoopUp through two decades of change. So if you're building, backing, or even just curious about what it really takes to survive and thrive in the world of startups, you're going to want to hear this one. But enough scene setting from me. Let me introduce you to Steve right now. So a massive warm welcome to the show. Can you tell everyone listening a little about who you are and what you do?
Hey, Neil, thank you for having me. Yes, I'm Steve Flavel, and I'm a co-CEO of a company called LoopUp. And yeah, LoopUp is in the world of global telecoms. I think I'd make the bold claim that we are the world's most global telco, but perhaps we'll dive into that one as the podcast goes on.
I love it. One of the things I always try and do on every episode is find out a little bit more about the origin story of my guests. And from the little research that I've done, I noticed that you've been building in this space since the early BlackBerry days, even creating one of the first mobile apps for conference calls. So what was the original motivation, though? If I take you way back to the very beginning, what inspired you to start LoopUp, and how has it evolved since those early days?
Yeah, we've had some ups and downs along the way, which I'm happy to share with you. And you're right, we started in quite a different world to the one we're in now. We started in the world of conference calling. And this was back in 2000 and 2003. A friend of mine from business school and I set the company up. And we thought that conference calls were just terrible. So we set about trying to make them less awful. I don't know if you remember, you have to think back now to pre-pandemic days when people used to dial in with numbers and codes and, you know, you never knew who was on and who was speaking. You know, you can mute people who had all the background noise. It was just a miserable experience. There were some wonderful YouTube videos, which really did a good job of making fun of conference calls. And we set about making them less bad, I think, was our mission.
And as you said there, the business has seen so many big shifts, including the COVID-19 pandemic, effectively wiping out a core moment there. So walk me through some of the pivots that you've had to go through there. And also, what kept you moving forward during that pressure? Because there'll be a lot of founders listening. Maybe they've been through a few setbacks. And I think it's just great to hear about some of those stories of digging deep and keep marching forward.
Yeah, of course. So we were lucky with the conference calling product. It went really well, and we grew for many years, you know, for 12 years of good percentage growth. And we managed to take the company public back in 2016. We were the first post-Brexit vote IPO, actually, in London, which we managed to get away. And that went really well through to the pandemic. But then our whole world changed. You know, well, you would think a conference calling company should do well during the pandemic. And in some ways we did. Our volumes like quintupled in the course of a week. And, you know, it was crazy for a while. But the problem was more systematically that industry got wiped out to a very significant degree. More complete sort of communications platforms such as Teams, Microsoft Teams, and we're on now, Zoom came along and really flourished during the pandemic. And that activity became so mainstream that products like the one we had, you know, went into decline, you know, a few months into the pandemic. We had a very specialist product for the sort of the legal and professional services market for their conference calls. And as everybody started to use Teams and Zoom, those law firms' clients started to use Teams and Zoom. And so they started to use Teams and Zoom rather than Looper. And, you know, that business was damaged beyond repair. It went into decline. It remains in decline. So we were lucky actually in that we had a ready-made pivot. We'd actually started work in the winter before the pandemic on what was going to be our second sort of big product. It didn't quite become our second big product. It became our big pivot. And that's when we moved into a related world, which is the world of international, multinational, if you like, cloud telephony for Microsoft Teams. So moving your telecoms into the cloud, integrating it with Microsoft Teams, and then being able to buy it in a global way, you know, rationalizing all the vendors you may have across the world. So, you know, rather than having to buy off BT in the UK and Verizon in America and Telstra in Australia, Orange in France, you may, as a big multinational company, you may well have 20, 30 vendors around the world for telecoms. We allow you now to consolidate that into one vendor working with LoopUp across the world.
It was a crazy time, and I think it's often easy to forget just how crazy it was. I mean, a niche tool like Zoom at the time was suddenly worth more than all of the world's airlines combined within something like 6 months. It almost came out of nowhere there. So it must have been incredibly challenging. When you look back now, do you think, it kind of happened for a reason and it's led to better things? But what was going through your mind back then?
It was a blur, you know. Yeah. The initial part of the pandemic was just keeping the platform up. I think we were the only provider I know of in the market, including actually Teams and Zoom, that managed to keep their platform live and not go down, you know, with the huge increase in volumes that came during the pandemic. We quintupled in call volumes over the course of a week and just try to keep that platform live, you know, keep our customers talking to each other, was a real challenge in those early months. And then the challenge became different, which was, okay, we had this second product that we were going to bring into our portfolio. We had to accelerate that rather faster because we realized that there was a more systematic decline starting to happen and churn out to products like Teams and Zoom from our old business. So, you know, we accelerated our new one through, but we were lucky to have had a head start. Otherwise, that would have been a lot more challenging.
And fast forward to present day, as you said in your intro, LoopUp is now described as the world's most multinational telecommunication service provider. So how did you get there? What makes this positioning that you've got now unique compared to everything else in the market? What makes you guys stand out?
Yeah, there's been a lot going on in the world of telecoms. You would think it's sort of a dull industry that's decades old, but actually, you know, it's quite rare to find an industry of this size that has had to restructure so fundamentally in such a short space of time. And with that huge restructuring in such a large market, you get a lot of opportunity. So the big restructurings have been three of them, really. The first is enterprises, businesses have moved their telecoms into the cloud. So, you know, rather than having like pieces of equipment, you know, they're called PBXs, they're like switches you put in your office. You know, people don't need those anymore. They can strip them all out. You know, that's all dealt with by the service provider in the cloud. And it leads to huge cost savings for companies and much more efficient operations. So that's been big restructuring one. And that's that's a long way through now. You know, most of the market has gone to cloud. The second one, which is a lot younger, is the integration of that cloud telecoms into platforms like Teams. You know, Teams is dubbed, you know, unified communications, but out of the box, it doesn't have any telecoms. So yeah. It's sort of nearly unified communications. And if you actually want to unify it and put telecoms in, that is an integration project. And that's what we do in our market. So that restructuring to integrate telecoms with platforms like Teams to make them unified is a big restructuring going on. And then the third, which is our big thing to your question, you know, it's what makes us different. It's the fact that we're globalizing that. So rather than having to buy telecoms rather locally, which has been the historic way, right? If you're buying telecoms in the UK, you're probably buying it off a different company, perhaps BT or Gamma or something, than you buy it in Hong Kong, where you might buy it off PCCW or Hutchinson. You know, all the providers have their local markets because that's the way that industry has grown up, because they've been wires into buildings industries, quite physical, and they're grown up quite locally. So our big change is to globalize that, you know, to allow bigger, more multinational companies to be able to rationalize how they buy and manage those telecoms integrated with Teams with one vendor. And that's the big thing about LoopUp. And, you know, we provide local service in about 136 countries now, which that's the source of my bold claim that, you know, we are the world's most global telco, right? We provide telecom service to businesses in more countries than any other.
And just to drill down on the problem that we're talking about here, for multinational enterprises that have challenged with managing telephony across dozens of countries is incredibly complex and indeed expensive. So how does your model of one global provider, how does that help companies optimize spend and simplify operations? Tell me a little bit more about how you're solving this.
Well, you know, I think the start point of that is to think about how companies manage Teams. You know, Teams has become such a primary product for so many companies for their communications, and it's all managed globally.
Yeah.
Why would you want underneath that your telecoms element all disparately managed all over the world? You know, surely you'd rather, you know, manage it in the same globalized way and ideally all integrated with Teams. And that's the essence of it. You know, it allows companies just to simplify everything. You don't have to have 20 contracts. You don't have to have 20 sort of support mechanisms, 20 different sort of implementation methods, 20 different management portals. You know, you've turned all that into one of each of those, and you can do everything in a globally consistent way. You've got all your data in one portal, all access to all your phone numbers, provisioning, usage, analytics, all in one portal. And it provides simplification and cost cutting for those companies involved.
And you've spoken there about removing the need for multiple regional vendors. Are there any other practical benefits for enterprises of having just that one global provider that isn't tied to a particular region or geography there?
Well, I think it is those practical things. You know, you don't have to deal with, you know, 20 different companies trying to support you and each having different methods and processes to support you. You're dealing with one company that's supporting you in a consistent way through one tool, where you can put tickets into that one tool to get support. You can look at all the analysis in that one tool. You know, you can manage the thing consistently and in a unified way, just like you're managing your broader communications in Teams. It is those very practical, everyday situations, needs, and efficiencies that we address.
And I think we're both of a similar age, and we've seen unified communications become a buzzword and remain a buzzword for many years, but it's not always lived up to its expectations and rarely achieved in reality. So what does here in 2025, what does truly unified look like from your perspective? And how close are we to it becoming the norm and being that standard expectation for what we expect to see everywhere?
Well, it took many years. I mean, I remember going into the pandemic, you know, we spoke to a lot of companies about this new business we were looking to go into. You know, were they ready for it before the pandemic? And it was unclear because, you know, if you asked a large company how they used unified communications products, it was a very unclear answer. You know, some people loved it and used it for everything. Some people used it perhaps for messaging, but didn't use it for much else. And some people wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. You know, the real disparate view of products like this within any single company. And I think what changed was the pandemic, because it was the catalyst to get mainstream usage, you know, over that critical mass and everybody using it. I think Microsoft's CEO put it well at the time. I think he said, look, we've seen 2 years adoption in 2 months of unified communication. You know, so yeah. It just accelerated everything. And, you know, coming out the other side, it is the norm. Is it truly unified? Well, it depends on the platform you're looking at. In Microsoft's case, pretty well. I mean, it does all sorts of things, but the thing it is missing is the telecoms, and that's what we bring, you know, that final piece to the puzzle to truly unify it.
And you've been on an incredible journey, incredibly inspiring, and will be your story will resonate with so many founders listening. And I'm curious, if you look back on your journey so far, what would you say are the biggest personal lessons that you've learned about everything from resilience, leadership, and building a company through both high growth and incredibly high pressure moments? What are the biggest lessons that you've learned along the way?
Well, persistence has been key for us. You know, we've had some incredible highs and some really concerning downturns to deal with along the way. And I'm delighted to say that, you know, we're on the up, very much so, in recent times with our new product. But I think one of the biggest learnings, given that's probably, I think we may have had an extreme version of it given the pandemic, but I'm sure it's the shape that a lot of founders will recognize. And one of the biggest learnings for me has been communication. You know, it's your team that does this for you, and being open with them about the highs and the lows, and importantly the lows, and keeping them informed as to what's going on, and making them understand why we're doing what we're doing. From all sorts of points of view, from a strategic point of view, it's critical. It empowers them to make better decisions on a day-to-day basis if they truly understand why we're doing what we're doing. But also from a, you know, financial and company health point of view, you know, I think it loyalty doesn't just come without that. It's a reaction to an open communication. So I think at LoopUp we've always tried to do that. There was a period of time when we were public where, you know, it wasn't always entirely possible to be as open with our team as we'd once been and we would have liked to have been. But now we're private again, you know, we can go back to that that original world of, you know, really talking to them very, very openly about where the company's at. And I think that's the biggest lesson for me.
And you, as again, you've had that fantastic career and journey here. We've talked a lot today around everything from technology and enterprise-grade voice over IP solutions and your journey to becoming the world's most multinational telco service provider. But of course, you're achieving great success here, but none of us are able to achieve any degree of success without a little help along the way. And very often there is someone that sees something in us, invests a little time, and maybe even helps us get us through those rough periods. So if you were to look back at your entire journey there, is there anyone in particular that you're grateful towards that maybe we can give a little shout out to today? Who would that be and why?
Yeah, I think that's an easy one, actually, Neil. But just before answering, I mean, You in your question, you mentioned, you know, investors, and I'm not going to answer it in the form of an investor, but they have been, you know, they're a critical part of this puzzle as well. And, you know, when you're going through highs and lows, having a group of investors as we've had that are willing to work in grey. You know, obviously when everything's going super well, there's no issue with investors. If things are awful, then, you know, there's also often no issue with investors because everybody should be clear that, that there's something wrong. It's when you're somewhere in the middle in that grey. And of course, over the years with the journey that we've described, we've had some grey at certain periods. And we've just had a wonderful group of investors who have helped us through that grey and have supported us and stuck with us. And luckily, we've come out the other side for them, I hope. So that's good. But to your question, there's a clear answer, which is I am a co-CEO. I think I said that at the start. And, you know, I started this company with a good friend of mine from business school called Michael Hughes. And, you know, that journey we've been on together and we're still on together. We're still co-CEOs 22 years in from founding the company together. I don't think it would have been possible without a partner like him and being able to, you know, offload the good times and the bad times with a business partner that that can share it with you. And, you know, we were extremely good friends before starting. We still are. You know, you're often told maybe don't work with friends, you know, keep it separate. In our case, I think we were such good friends that that was the source of why it worked and why it still works. And, you know, co-CEOs often don't. But in our case, I think we're going to claim an exception there. So I would say him clearly.
Well, you can always rely on a Hughes. That's all I'm going to say to that. But great story. Quick shout out to him. Hopefully he'll get to hear this as well. And for anybody listening anywhere in the world, inspired by your story, wanting to learn more about the work that you're doing at LoopUp, where can they find you and your team? Where should they go?
Well, place to start is really as normal, the website. So go and check us out on loopup.com. I think it's hopefully a relatively easy website to consume. You know, it's we say what it is on the tin. And yeah, reach out. Reach out to me personally on LinkedIn or on my email, which I'm sure will be published with this podcast. It'd be great to hear from you.
Yeah, I'll add everything. And I think your story will be so useful to founders there. Hearing about it from the very beginning as well, from developing one of the first ever business BlackBerry apps that essentially turned your mobile app into a remote control of the conference call, and then taking it public to London Stock Exchange. So everything that you're doing now as a global telco company, incredibly cool.
That sort of thing sounds normal these days, but back then, 20 years ago, it was like a little magic trick.
Yes, it really was. So kudos to you. We'll stay in touch. It'd be great to get you back on maybe next year, see how things are evolving. But thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you, Neil. It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So what can we take away from Steve's story today? For me, I think it's a reminder that persistence matters just as much as vision. LoopUp didn't set out to become the world's most global telco. It got there by responding to market shocks, listening to customers, and staying honest with the team when times were tough. That's how pivots turn into reinventions. And we also heard today about the practical side of simplifying global telephony for multinational enterprises on a global scale. One contract, one platform, one true, and a true unified communications that's built into Microsoft Teams. But behind all that technology is something deeper. Open communication, resilience under pressure, and the value of a strong co-founder partnership. So if you want to learn more, please pop by the LoopUp website, say hello to Steve on LinkedIn. And as you head back into your own week, please ask yourself this. Are you building with enough persistence, clarity, and a partnership that can withstand the unexpected? Because I think, as Steve's journey showed today, these are the qualities that turn setbacks into stepping stones. Truly inspiring, this one for me today. So if you did enjoy the conversation, please say hello to Steve over on LinkedIn. Any stories about the podcast, please, techtalksnetwork.com. You'll find this one along with 7 other different podcasts all hosted by me. Sorry about that. But let me know your thoughts. You can leave me an audio message. You can connect with me on LinkedIn, X, Instagram, just at Neil C. Hughes. But that's it for today. So thank you to Steve for sharing his inspiring story. Thank you for your time in listening to the conversation. And I'll be back again next week. Bye for now.